that allows me to record tonight's talk, which will eventually work its way up to the intertube where you can download it in the pleasure of your own listening environment. So tonight I'm talking about changing or turning life's difficulties, difficult events and challenging times into learning experiences so that something good comes of it, so that we can actually use our difficult experiences to avoid repeating them. And that's a really unwieldy title for a talk, so I'll have to whittle that away. So it's been said many times by people wiser than myself that the sign of a insightful mind is the ability to see past the particulars and the details of the events of life and to find embedded at its core, at the core of our experiences, the lesson or the real underlying truth that we can learn. Generally, there are many truths, but at least the sign of a wise mind is not to get caught up in all the particulars and the uniqueness, and instead to find like a kernel within all the events that have occurred, something that sums it up that we can learn from so that we avoid getting ourselves baited or hooked or trapped or lured into suffering. For example, all throughout culture and throughout the humanities has spent a lot of time interpreting works of art, looking for the underlying messages. A couple of examples, The Matrix. If you watch The Matrix, on the one hand, it's at least the first one was a pretty decent science fiction movie with a pretty lousy lead actor, but in general, good movie with a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff, ideas you can sink your teeth into. But if you look, if you throw away all of the intricacies of the plot and you simply think about what happened in that movie, and basically it's about a bifurcation in life between, on the one hand, there's this computer world where we're super powerful and can do anything we want, and then there's the ugly real reality where we're, I gather, stuck in tubes having some gigantic machine suck away our life's energy or whatever. But this metaphor is very interesting, of course. It's a metaphor about the bifurcation that's going in our lives already between all of us have our nice little social network lives where we present ourselves smiling and happy, that shot that everybody has to do with, I don't know why everybody feels the need to do that. Since if nobody has a friend that they can just hand the fucking phone to take a photo of us, everybody has that, I'm pouting. Here's me pouting upside down. So, what the fuck I'm talking about. So, anyway, we all have our social network-y lives, our virtual reality, and then there's the ugliness of having to pay the rent and going to our boring, trudging jobs over and over and over again, being sucked away by the capitalist machine. So anyway, it's an interesting metaphor. And that's, you have to look behind all the particulars to get to that, right? It's not written up front. It's not like, it doesn't say at the front of the movie, this movie is a gigantic metaphor for how shallow and split our lives have become in the age of the social network and Web 2.0. It doesn't say that. You have to figure it out for yourself. And that's the way, also if you go for an older example, there's King Lear. My sister is a Shakespearean, and King Lear, there was this king who's growing old, and he's got three daughters, and two of them are lying, and they're terrible people, and they'll say anything he wants to hear, and then the third one is always truthful and virtuous, but because she doesn't lie and tell him how great he is, she's the one that's cast aside. And then the plot gets lost between all these Shakespearean devices where there's people in false identity and under false pretenses and men dressed up as women who are dressed up as men. And, well, maybe that's a different play, but anyway, there's, you know, there's all the stuff that goes on and armies marching and great speeches, and it's very easy to lose one of the core messages, which is that, you know, if we simply go by hearing what we want to hear from people as opposed to going with people who will tell us the truth, call us on our shit, be honest with us, we're going to be led in the wrong direction. I mean, there's a million different messages. There's also messages about families that compete internecinely, I guess that's a word, for love rather than share and be compassionate with each other. I mean, there's millions of different messages. There's not just one. But to find any salient message, you've got to do a little bit of searching through it. It's nothing in life. The important messages in life are never written in the front of the experience or in the front of the play or the book or the show or anything. You've got to do some effort. You've got to take some time to say, okay, what was the point of this entire experience I've just been through? What should I learn for it? And I guarantee you, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. Why is it not obvious? Because we get lost in all of the details, A, and B, why we did this and that. All of our self-justifications. We fill up our minds with, well, this person did this, and they said that, and I did that, and I had every right to do blah, 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 blah. And because we fill up our minds with all these details, we don't learn the important lessons from life. The idea is, if you want to get to the core truth, you've got to simplify things, not fill up more and more and more shit on top of a lot of crap. So that's what our minds does, though. Instead of simply going through an experience and just experiencing it, first of all, well, then we add up all this thought and thinking and justifying and wondering what other persons were thinking and how did this appear to other people. And so this melange, that's not the word I want, this miasma, there's a better word, that fills up the mind, this is what causes us an inability to see what we should learn, what we should take away from our experiences. Now, it so happens that the Buddha was extremely talented at this ability to see the core behind every story and get to the truth. There's a really funny one in the Udana, which is one of the rare collections of the Buddha's teachings. There's this very long story about Nanda, who was related to the Buddha. Nanda wanted to quit the monks because he had had a relationship with a girl in the past, and he missed her. And so the Buddha took him aside, but not too far away that the other monks couldn't listen in, and he said, "Oh, Nanda, so I hear you want to quit the monks because of this girl that you're remembering fondly." So he shows Ananda this, not Ananda, that's somebody else, Nanda. He shows him this view of all these maidens who gather somewhere for this ceremony. And he says, "Do you see these 500 beautiful young maidens?" And Nanda says, "Well, of course I do." And the Buddha says, "Well, if you stay on the path, I can promise you all of them." And Nanda says, "That's great. I really want that because they're so much better than that girl I was remembering from the village back home." Now, the Buddha is doing something clever here because he knows that if Nanda stays on the path, he's actually not going to be wanting to take him up on the offer. He's not actually going to want to throw everything away for the maidens, but he's using this as a clever ploy to keep Nanda on the path, keep him doing the meditation. So the other monks hear this, and soon the story gets out that Nanda is only in it for the women. And everybody passes the story around, and they start really giving him a really hard time. They start making fun of Nanda, and he becomes so ashamed that the reason he stayed in the monkhood was because of his attachment to sensuality, as they say, his plans on being a womanizer, that he sees through it, that it's that's the thing that's standing in the way through his true peace, and by that he achieves enlightenment, and he goes to the Buddha, and he says to the Buddha, I realize now what a fool I was, and of course you don't have to give me the 500 maidens, I'm totally happier now on the path. And the Buddha summarizes this whole long story by saying, here's a summary, if you crush sensual attachment, you're free from life's ups and downs. That's it. Pages and pages and pages, and he just sees that one little message that he can carry around and use as a teaching lesson for the other monks. So you get the idea. When the Buddha looked at life and all of our suffering and all of the stress that we cause ourselves, he saw four things, four general rules, four noble truths. He didn't see any more. He just saw he saw a lot more, but he summarized all of life into four basic truths, which is that in life, we will grow old, sick, and die. We will experience rejection. We will experience loss and grief. We will experience not getting what we want. We will experience getting things we don't want. We will experience being with people we don't like and being separated from people we love. All of this will happen. This is what will happen in life. There is no way to avoid that. But because we try to reject the way things are, we try to control the uncontrollable, we try to gain mastery over what cannot be gained mastery over. We try to change the very nature of life. We create for ourselves even more stress and suffering than is inherent to those painful events. If we actually let go of all this attempts to make life other than it is, we could actually have so much more peace and happiness than we have, because actually the events in life that we talked about are not all of life. There's actually a lot of wonderful things in life, a lot of beautiful moments, beautiful events, and there's also, we have a source, the Buddha said, of real happiness available to us, and it's available to us within. But the problem is, we're so bent out of shape trying to control external life, trying to make it other than it is, trying to control other people, get everything in life outside exactly the way we want it. We try to find people that will give us all of our happiness. We try to find enough possessions and accrue enough power at jobs that we will feel safe. Because we're so bent out of shape out there that we don't see the true source of lasting peace we have available to us within. And this is the core story the Buddha saw about life. It's a very simple story to relate. I actually just did it in less than 5 minutes. So that's one of the ways. Now, luckily, life has many different ways, just like King Lear, there are many interpretations. All of our experiences have many, many ways to get the real important message from it. It's one of the cardinal errors we do, besides getting so caught up in the particulars and the details and the self-justifications and the worrying about what other people are thinking, and instead of doing that, just seeing the basics of what happened, is very often in our mind we go back and forth debating what's the single real lesson I should learn here? What's the right interpretation? For instance, we go through a relationship and we dive into it because we're bisolating with that person. And you know what bisolating means? Bisolating means isolating but with another person. Okay. You're bisolating with them because you no longer need your support group or your friends or your exercise or your, and all those worries that happen to you in the, before the relationship magically go away for about 2 months, exactly. They go away for as long as the neurotransmitters are good and they're flushing your mind with dopamine and adrenaline and all that. The rest of the world, the fact you have to pay the rent and all that, blurs out and you are completely sucked into the matrix. And see, I'm wrapping it up. That's what very skillful. It's like mediums do. So anyway, we look then for, after a relationship doesn't work out, we look for a single message. What was I supposed to learn there if we actually do take the time to try to figure out what we did wrong? And then we'll go back in our forth in our heads between all these different interpretations looking for the one, like, oh, well, I'll never date a blonde again, or this is the last time I'm going to throw all my eggs into one basket, or fuck being in relationships, I'm just going to put all my effort into my career, or whatever. And generally, half of the things we try to find are unskillful, but often there are skillful things in there, like, for instance, not going into something too quickly, taking our time, not abandoning the rest of our lives, or B, not throwing all of our eggs into one basket, or whatever. They're good messages, and rather than having to nail it down to one, we should allow ourselves to come away with a couple of different learning messages that we can take away from any different experience. The key is that we want it to be something that is really going to be towards our long-term benefit, is really going to help us, that it's not going to be something that's just retaliatory, like fuck relationships, fuck blondes, fuck brunettes, fuck whatever. It's actually based on something that is, in spirit, helpful. Like, for instance, the next time I'm going to be more grounded and more, I'll take my time and I will make sure that I don't abandon the rest of my life as I enter a relationship. That's an example of a good message to get away from an experience that goes south. So I'm going to give you an example of how to exactly do this. How do we turn experiences into learning that we can carry around, that's portable, that we can use elsewhere. The first tool is, as I said, let's start with number one. Start with the assumption that every experience you've had in life is not unique. Not unique. The details are unique, true, but the emotions and the feelings beneath them, the real deep experience itself, what you wanted, what you did, and what you got, those are universal. No matter what it is we're talking about, in every experience in life, there's the universal. There's a famous, famous guy in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous tells a story about how after he escaped a cancer scare, his family and him went on a vacation, and the plane crashed, and everybody in his family died except him. And he was left in the plane, and he was then robbed by bandits and then left for dead. And, of course, for the rest of his life, he thought, well, you know, I have an experience that will be useless to everybody else and myself because that's just not going to happen again in the world. Then one day he was speaking at a meeting, and a woman came rushing forward, grabbed him, hugged him, and he looked and she said, you don't understand, when I was younger, I was in a plane crash and everybody in my family died. And your story, hearing it on the web, was the only thing that kept me from killing myself. Now, it goes beyond that. Because he said later on, he realized that the core of the experience, that anything we have can be taken from us at any time is something that everybody can relate to and that he should keep in mind. That it doesn't matter how secure it seems our lives are, I guarantee you everything can be taken in the world. As the Buddha said, the world can be swept away. Nothing in it is ownable because it can all go in an instant. There are a lot of people before Bernie Madoff who thought that they were set for life and then have nothing. So anything, there are a lot of people who owned a few years ago record stores. Or bookstores or whatever, you know. It's like things change. Nothing we have is solid, as the Buddha said. It's going to all be taken away. So there's always a universal truth tucked in our experience somewhere. Don't ever walk away from an experience just throwing it away and saying, well, there's nothing to be learned there. Because if you are, you're wasting an opportunity. If there was suffering involved, rather than just avoid thinking about it, I guarantee you, you're better off, in fact, looking into it and seeing what you can learn so that you can reduce the risk of you going through such stress and suffering again. Number two, when you go through this work, let go of the idea that it has to be a single message or the real true single message. You're just trying to find a learning that will help you in the future, that you can use. It doesn't have to be the ultimate truth. You're not being graded by me or the Buddha. I'm not going to know, nor is the Buddha. He's dead. So you're the one who has to walk around with your learning. So long as it helps you, it's valid. You don't have to debate it endlessly in your head. Number three, here's where the core work goes. Strip away the details and summarize the experience you've been through at most in one sentence. That's right, one sentence. It could be that you're at a job and there's other people, they don't know how much you're doing and they keep giving you more work and blah, 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 and you went there with this understanding and your job description is this or that and the other thing, and forget it. You went there. You had an expectation, they didn't have the same expectation. Bang! That's something you can learn from. If we have expectations, we're setting ourselves up for suffering. That simple. Imagine another way of doing it is think about how you'll describe this event 20 years from now. You're not going to know all the details. You're not going to know all the shit that happened. You're just going to say, oh, yeah, back then, boy, did I make a mistake. I went into this job simply because it offered me money, and I hated it, and it was a terrible experience. Oh, you're like, okay, well, great. I learned from that that if I simply use money and not anything else as a criteria for my decisions, in the long term, I wind up miserable. So you get the idea. Strip down the experience into the simplest, most core statement about it you possibly can. Don't worry if it's the ultimate version. You can always do it again. But just assume that somewhere in there is a core statement. And then my fourth note is focus on what your role was, because that's the person who can change. You can't change the other people involved in the story. You can't make the role. If your message is, well, from now on, I'll have to make sure that blah, blah, blah does exactly what I say, that's not a valid message. It's not a valid message. A valid message is something that you can learn from it. And after all, the only person you can control is yourself. So what you do is you look at the experience in the very most basic skeletal version of it, and you ask, what did I want, what did I do, and what did I get? I'll give you a couple of examples. I was having a long day at work a couple of weeks ago, And I was wandering around. It was very cold outside. I was very tired. And I even though I had meditated during the day, I still was carrying around some stress. And the only thing I wanted was to have an easy trip home. So I got on the J train, and immediately I got rammed into this really packed car. And right next to me was an enormous gentleman who was screaming the scriptures at the top of his voice. And just standing there shouting. And he must have, I mean, I tried to learn from him because, you know, I tried not to bring just, oh my God, this is exactly what I didn't want. But at the end of the experience, rather than going into the story, well, I'll never take the J train again, or any of that idiocy that the normal human mind will do, which I, of course, jumped to at first. That's the last time I jump on the J train during rush hour. I'd rather walk over the bridge, blah, blah, you know. Instead, I went through, where's the universal in that experience? And I thought, okay, the universal is that if I'm walking around with a lot of stress and I assume that the world will release it for me, that's not going to happen. I'm setting myself up for misery. So if I'm carrying around stress, hoping for the world to do exactly what I want it to do, I'm setting myself up for misery. That is actually something worth reminding myself, because then I can remind myself, okay, I'm stressed out. Before I go into a situation that's totally out of control, let me breathe again, relax my body, and remind myself, after all, that this is the world with the New York City subway system and the fucking J train of all things. It's not going to go the way I want it. So with other people and relationships, rather than saying, oh, if only this person is just going to say the things I want them to say tonight so that I can have an easy time, I just remind myself, I have to be the one who restores peace and sanity. Other people are not going to do it for me. Another example, of course, is when we're in relationships that don't turn out the way we want. One of the things to see is that we all want to have connection with another human being. We all want to feel that we're connected. But the problem is that sense of fullness and connection can't come from any one specific person entirely. Because if we do throw everything towards one person, we will be let down. So we have to have a support group. We have to widen the area that we're looking for help. If we allow ourselves to become too focused or dependent on one person, we will be let down. So these are some ideas. Concluding, the Buddha said, once we see a lesson that is portable, that we can take with us through life, the thing to do is to develop a sense of what he called samvega, which is a physical unease when we see ourselves causing ourselves unnecessary stress. And we develop a sense of accomplishment, paseda or samadhi, or a sense of peace, when we see ourselves learning from these experiences. We start using a sense of both physical and mental relationship with these learnings. So there's not just intellectual, but there's also something deeply embodied about the way we relate to what we've learned from our experiences in life. So that's my talk on learning. I hope you got a little bit of something from it. And now is your turn to ask or talk about anything that is going on. Feel free to share or just ask any questions. And I thank you for listening tonight. So, any thoughts or questions? Hi.
Hi. I'm Tiffany. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Sweet. Well, I've been coming here for a while. I'm glad I'm seeing you.